We're going to read the opening verses of this book in the first chapter, chapter 1, commencing our reading at verse 1, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 6, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. Let's just come together now briefly in prayer as we turn to this portion of Scripture this evening. Let's pray. Father, we ask you tonight to bless us as we look at the Scriptures at this point in time. We pray, Lord, for thy help. We pray for thy guidance. And we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God might be with each one of us. Lord, may our concentration not drift, but Lord, may we be focused on the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts this night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this portion of Scripture tonight, I want you to think about the character of Naomi. Now, as you come to the entire story here in the four chapters that we read in the book of Ruth, of course, the prime character in the story is Ruth herself, Ruth, and then, of course, Boaz. I imagine most people here tonight will be familiar with this particular story. It seems that there are those in the Scriptures and those in life who occupy the center stage, those who are to the fore. And when we come even to the Scriptures, we find that while there are those people who are at the fore, there are always those behind them that are playing a smaller part, and yet a critical part, a vital part, in order for the job to be done. When we think of the Bible, we're going to come tonight to think about Naomi and Ruth, but we can think of another lady. We can think of Esther, Queen Esther. We think of the role that she played in the time whenever Mordecai was her cousin, and the people of Israel, the Jews who were living in the land at the time, were in great peril and in great danger. And of course, we think of how the power and the influence that Esther had at that point in time was used in order to preserve the people. But when we study that story, we find that it was really Mordecai who was the important character in the story, the one who was behind and driving what it was that Esther was to do. Now, of course, when we come to Ruth, we know that Ruth had many virtues in herself. But we see here in this story how the Lord used Naomi, her mother-in-law, in an amazing way. And we see the end result of that as we come to the close of the book. I want you to give consideration tonight to the fact that even though we might describe Naomi, if we were to use the term that they use in the media today, as a B celebrity, she's not number one, she's not the most famous in the story, and yet she played a critical role. So it is that in church today, in the Christian church today, there are those that are at the fore, and there are those who are perhaps not seen just as much. But together, we know that the Lord uses his people. Nevertheless, we often find in such stories that it's a role that's played by a person in the background that leads to the great outworking of an event that is seen in the foreground. Human nature leads us to laud those people who are seen to be achieving, to praise those people who seem to be doing well. The Scriptures remind us, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, "Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And so it is tonight that we want to consider the lesser thought of person Naomi, Elimelech's wife, the mother of Mahlon and Chilion, and the mother-in-law of Naomi. I want you to first of all consider tonight by recognizing the place where she is. Let's come and just consider for a moment where she is at the beginning of the story. We know that she's in the land of Moab, along with her husband and her children. She's away from Israel. She's left the land of Israel. She's left Bethlehem. They've departed from the borders of Judah. They've crossed into a foreign land. They're in Moab, which is east of the Dead Sea. Moab today, if we were to look at the map of the world, is in the southwest of Jordan. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say about the geography of the country. One very simple point to bear in mind tonight is that Moab wasn't far away. We're going to think of Moab and we're going to think of it in a very negative sense, because Moab was the land of the enemy. It was foreign land. It was a place that they should never have gone to. In a sense, it was a million miles away from the people of God. But in a physical sense, it was very near. And so as we think about how a believer can drift away into the land of the enemy, drifting away into the state of being a backslider, drifting away from the Lord and from their first love, while they may in one sense end up a million miles away from what they used to be, it's only a step away in another sense. So the short journey that they took brought them to the land of Moab. The Old Testament book of Numbers prophesies, when it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, it says, "A scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab." Now we can think tonight about physically where Naomi was. But I want you to consider for a moment spiritually where Naomi was. Along with her family, they were away from the fellowship of God's people, and they were away from God's house of bread. It wasn't that long ago, just a few months back, maybe a couple of months ago, I believe, it was the Reverend Morrow that preached on Elimelech, and I remember that message very well, and I assure you I'm not preaching it tonight, but there is a parallel in the lessons that we draw from the characters here. So, while our standing in Christ can never change, the state of an individual believer can change, it can fluctuate. Some people have their ups and downs, some have more downs than ups. And the pathway that we take, the journey that we're on as believers, it can often have valleys in it and difficulties and challenges. I want you to consider tonight where you are spiritually, not just physically. We look around the room tonight and we see a good number in, and it's encouraging to see people in God's house. It's encouraging to see people in the place of prayer. You might say there could be more. I could say there could be less. We're glad to see you here tonight. But where you're at physically, even though you're in a prayer meeting, even though you're in a church, even though perhaps you're going to be in a church on Sunday, it does not necessarily reflect where we are spiritually. And I know you know that as well as I know it. The place where Naomi was, it led to some extent to the price that Naomi was going to pay. I want you to turn to verse 3. And we read these words, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now, we don't know all of the details of their ages or the circumstances of the death, but we know that in the land where she lived, even in the land of Moab, there was great hardship. And there was no welfare state. Now, when the government get finished in the United Kingdom, there might not be one here either. We see a lot of cutbacks. But we enjoy the benefits of the state that we live in today. So many people who are widowed, so many people who are orphaned, so many people who are disabled in some way, and they're benefiting because of the system that we live in. But back in these days, there was no such benefit system. And as soon as Elimelech died, that immediately put Naomi in a very difficult position, no doubt financially as well as in many other ways. And she was left in a position of hardship. We read in verse 4, and they took them wives of the women, this is her children, of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Now 10 years have passed. It's amazing just how quickly, whenever you go away from the fellowship of the Lord, and you backslide, how quickly years can begin to pass. They were away 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now I want you to consider tonight how she felt. We know this happened a long time ago. There's a danger when we read it. We can read it with a viewpoint of it just being a history record, and not really consider the feelings that went through Naomi's heart. She left her home. She was a long journey from her family that she grew up with. And while she was away, she lost her husband, her partner in life. And having to get over the sorrow of that and to try and keep the home together, she saw her two sons marry, and then she saw both her sons die. I'm sure she never expected to see her children die before her. But so it was. Those were the circumstances that she faced. I want to say to you tonight, there was a price that Naomi paid. Now, I'm not trying to say necessarily tonight that this was her punishment, but there was a price to be paid for the fact that she was so far away from where she should have been. We don't know exactly what the circumstances were, but we can be clear that departing from God's house of bread was for her a mistake. There was most certainly in her life a price that was paid. Now, we put ourselves into her situation if we can try to do that. And we think about what was the next course of action for her. I could suggest to you tonight some things. In the face of great sorrow of heart, she had a choice to make. What would she do now? Having lost her husband and two sons, we might surmise that her options would go something like this. Number one, she might feel embittered against the Lord for what has happened. Number two, she might feel angry and resentful towards herself because of what has happened. Number three, she might feel like giving up. And number four, she might realize that the right thing to do is to return to God's house of bread. Now, we know what she did, but there's nothing to suggest that she didn't go through all of those thoughts and all of those emotions and all of those options, and then some, in the valley that she traveled through. So it is that tonight we consider our own circumstances. And there are choices before us about what path to take. Brother and sister, we know in the light of Scripture, we can say in the cold light of day, but let's say in the light of Scripture, we know that the place to be is in fellowship with the Lord and among His people, in the right place where God would have us to be. Contrasting the circumstances that she was living in to what would happen once she took the step to return to Bethlehem. Let's consider the provision that she received. Let's go to chapter 1 again in verse 6. And we notice that little phrase just at the end. It says, "For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread." And so it was that news that there was bread to eat in Bethlehem that she was encouraged to go back. Verse 22 of the same chapter, it says that they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. She was brought at a time of harvest back into the land. And then if we go to the end of the book, to chapter 4 and verse 14, we read, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that His name might be famous in Israel." The Lord that has not left thee without a kinsman. Verse 15, let's read it as well. "And He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life." These are the words that were spoken to Naomi. "He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which lovest thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons hath borne him." And so, we think of her circumstances, we think of her tragedy, we think of all that went through, and yet, when she made the choice to go back into fellowship with God's people, back to the place of bread, to the house of bread, she was to know the blessing of restoration of life and nourishment even in her old age. We think not only of the provision, but in closing tonight, I want you to think of the purpose that Naomi had. I described her at the beginning as a lesser character, but there was a vital role that she played here in bringing Ruth back to Bethlehem, in introducing her to Boaz. We read in verse 16 of chapter 4, "And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it." What a blessing that must have been for Naomi. To take this child, the child that Ruth had given birth to, and this child, we read in verse 17, "And the woman, her neighbors gave it, and the women, her neighbors gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed." And so this wee boy is born, and it goes on to say, "He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." And so it was in God's divine plan that He was going to bring this child into the world to be the father of Jesse, and then to be the Jesse to be the father of David, and David then to lead that royal lineage that would lead us to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would not have happened without the circumstances that Naomi faced in her life. It could not have happened had she not have gone through the valley, had she not have gone through the times of difficulty, had she not have lost her husband and her sons. The circumstances would not have happened. But in the hands of a divine God, an almighty God, an all-powerful God who is in control. He brought these circumstances about, and he had a great purpose. I want to, just in closing tonight, ask you, when did Naomi realize the purpose of her life? When did she realize the purpose of all of those trials and all of those difficulties? At what point in the story did she realize it? She never knew it till she got to heaven. She wasn't there to see what was going to happen in the years that would come. And it was only from a viewpoint in glory that she was going to be able to realize why God brought her on the pathway that he brought her. Many in our congregation over recent years, even in recent months and days, have traveled along difficult pathways. They've gone into valleys, and we often can ask the question, why? Why will God lead us in this direction? Why would God bring us in this path? Why would he allow these things to happen? And yet God has a divine plan. And so often, it would seem to be the case as we read the scriptures, that plan is not understood by the people until they are in glory. So there comes a day when all things shall be known, and the circumstances that we face today will make sense. For God does all things well. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose.